This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Only a fool thinks he can always do what he's always done. I want to talk to you this afternoon about the different seasons in our lives and how to discern when a season in your life is changing. You know, there's nothing worse than hanging on to something that God's done with. Amen. And, you know, just because you've done something for 10 years or 20 years and it's been God the whole time, that doesn't mean that God can't suddenly get done with it and want you to go in a different direction. And so I'm just going to tell you a story and maybe help you understand a little bit about what you can watch for when it's time for a change in your life. First of all, let me say, when something is changing in your life, when it's obvious that there's a change, maybe there's a change at your workplace and there's nothing you can do about it. You don't like it, but they're changing something and it's going to affect you. And you can either sit there and be unhappy or you can go along with the change. Well, I heard this one time and I think it's very good. When something is changing, the first thing you need to do is change your mind about the change. See, because if you're like, well, I don't like this, and I'm not going to be happy with this, if it's going to change anyway, then you might as well change your mind and say, I can get used to this. It's going to be okay. You know, things are changing in our lives all the time. I mean, there's how many of you have had really good relationships at some point, had a friend that you saw a lot for maybe 10, 15, 20 years, and now you don't ever see them. And see, even people, there's certain people that are right for our lives in certain seasons, and it doesn't mean it's bad when they're no longer in your life. It's just time for a new season. You know, maybe sometimes you've been helping somebody for a long, long time, and that's over. God doesn't want you helping them anymore. He wants them to stand on their own two feet. We had that situation with my brother. He lived with us for about 4 years and we got him all nice and healthy and he got off of drugs he was addicted to and got his life straightened out and was working for the ministry. And my brother was the kind of guy that he did okay as long as somebody was kind of making him do what was right, watching over him, but he didn't do too good when he was on his own. Well, he was a grown man, and to be honest, I didn't want to take care of him the rest of my life. I didn't think that would even be good for him. And so the time came when it was time to stop helping him. And that's hard to do sometimes. And to be honest, he didn't do very well when we stopped helping him. But I couldn't just keep taking care of him his whole life just so, you know, you can't give your whole life up to help somebody else stand on their two feet who won't do their part. God wants us to help people, but he never wants us to do so much for somebody else that they never end up having to do anything for themselves. Amen? And there's a lot that I can say about seasons, but I'm trusting God to pick out some bullet point things that maybe some people here really, really need today. Even your own kids, you know, things have to change with your children. You go through a period of time where you're telling them everything, and then you go for a period of time where they don't want you telling them anything. And the time will come when you will have to disengage from trying to tell your kids what to do all the time, and don't give them advice unless they ask you for it, because they don't want it if they don't ask for it. And so you have one type of relationship with your kids when they're little and at home, a different type when they become teenagers. You have to gradually turn decision-making power over to them in their own lives. And you let it go a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. I want to encourage you today, and this may sound odd at first, but don't be the kind of parent that your children are your whole life. You know why? Because someday they're going to leave and go about having their own life. And if you have put everything into them, nothing into your marriage, nothing into developing any other kind of relationships or interests or hobbies, you are going to be very sad and may even get mad at them for leaving me when it's a natural thing. You'll leave your father and mother and cleave unto your wife. Now, we have very good relationships with our four children, and I'm particularly really close to them, and I either see or talk to every one of them almost every day. I feel like mine never left home, but they, one of them lives within 1 minute of me, and another one lives within 3 minutes of me, and the other two are about 15, 20 minutes away. Our sons work for us, and so we came out of it good. But you know, I had to make some changes, and I had to make some adjustments as far as letting my kids live their own lives and not trying to tell them what to do all the time. And if you have multiple children, you will even have different relationships with each one of them. Come on. And you have to let each one of them be who they are, and you have to meet them where they're at and not expect every one of them to be like you are. Oh. Oh. You know, Paul said, I love this that the Apostle Paul said. He said, I've learned to be all things to all people, whatever it takes to win them. So Paul had the ability to kind of quickly locate what a person needed or kind of where they were coming from in life. And he, instead of expecting them to adapt to him all the time, he was spiritually mature enough to be the one who adapted and tried to meet them where they were at. Like, one of my children might want my advice on everything, and then another one might not want my advice on anything. So I've learned to not bother trying to give my advice to the one that's going to be offended by it. And one, I can say anything, and they'll say, no, I don't want to do that, or yeah, I think that's good, and that's fine. We don't have any problems. And so just make sure you realize that whatever kind of relationship you have with your children now, it's going to change as time goes by, and you got to have something in your life besides just your kids. Don't be one of those people that mourn for 5 years with the empty nest syndrome. You know, be at a point where when it's time for your kids to go, you're glad. It's like, go. Come see me, bring the grandbabies. But don't stay long. You know what I mean? I'm just having fun with you. How many of you agree with that? It's not wise to just put everything into one thing. And I think even in a marriage, I think, of course, different people are different. There are some people that can do every single thing together every day of their life. I need a little space, and Dave needs a little space. So after 52 years, you get things worked out really good. It's just like, I mean, I used to get so mad when he'd go out and play golf, and now I'm like, don't you want to go play golf? You know? In other words, if you want to have good relationships with people, stop trying to make them be what you want them to be and learn to love who they are. Amen? Okay. So we had a couple that lived with us for 18 years. It was when the ministry was first starting, and we didn't have any money to hire any kind of help, and the ministry was still in the basement of our home then. And this couple, God put it on their heart, and he put it on our heart to ask them to come and work with us and help us. And it would have been a volunteer position at first, and so We asked them to meet us for dinner, and when we asked them how they'd feel about getting involved in helping us, they said, God already put it on our heart. We're ready. And so you see, when something is right, you don't have to try to make somebody do something. God will prepare everybody's heart, and it will be an easy, smooth transition. Well, they started by just coming out to our house almost every night, and they'd do laundry or this or that or whatever needed to be done, which left me free to study. And yeah, I mean, I teach a lot now, but I mean, I used to be like almost like a crazy person. I mean, I would teach 20, 25 times a month, and every message was different. And if I wasn't preaching, I was studying to preach or putting together messages or writing a book. And so I didn't have time to do much else. And so as the ministry grew, they spent more and more time with us. And then as we started to travel, they stayed with our kids. Sometimes we'd be gone overnight or on the weekend. And so 18 years, they lived with us and they did everything with us. They went out to eat with us, everything. And it was just wonderful. We never had a problem, never had arguments, never had any issues between us. We just loved them. They loved us. And it was a perfect situation. And then the season was up. And it was the hardest thing because all of a sudden, just them being there annoyed me. And then I would get mad at myself because I felt that way, because I didn't understand why I felt that way. How many of you know sometimes things are changing and your feelings change and you just don't understand why you feel that way, and you even think, well, it's me, something's wrong with me. And I mean, I went through everything from thinking I wasn't a loving person to I wasn't appreciative and all these different things. Well, it took a lot longer than it should have for us to make the change, but 2 years, and finally all four of us got it. It was time for a change. And we're still friends today. We love them, they love us, but we used to see them every day of our life for 18 years, and now we see them maybe 5 times a year, something like that. But you know, we've got a relationship with deep roots. We would do anything for them. If they ever needed help, they would do anything for us. But you have to be willing to let things change. Now, I'm gonna make a statement that has really impacted my life in the last couple of years, and I hope that it will mean something to you. Only a fool thinks he can always do what he's always done. Only a fool thinks he can always do what he's always done. Let me tell you something. You're aging. From the moment you're born, you're aging. Now, I asked my trainer, I have a trainer that works with me 3 days a week with weights, and I asked him, I'm 76 now, and I said, okay, if I keep this up 3 days a week, I've been working out like that for like 13 years. I said, if I keep this up, when I'm 90, will I still be able to do exactly what I'm doing right now? And he said, no. I'm kind of like, well, how do you know? And he said, no, simply because, he said, you'll still be able to work out. But he said, you won't be lifting as heavy a weights as you do now. You might not do quite as many reps. He said, because you're aging, and by the time you're 90, no matter how good a care you take of yourself, you're not going to be as strong as you are right now. So I asked him the other day, I said, how about 80? Can I still, And he said, yeah, 4 years from now, you'll probably still be able to do pretty much, you know, what you're doing now. And I'm part of the reason why I'm doing these physical things is to keep myself in shape. If you want to keep moving, then you got to keep moving. You know, you can't just go sit down somewhere and expect to feel like doing things 5 or 10 years from now. Be as active as you can, as long as you can, without hurting yourself, and you can be around for a long time doing lots of things. Old is a mindset. Aging is a fact of life. We're all getting older all the time, And you will get to the point where there's some things that doesn't interest you anymore, or some things you used to really love to do, now you don't want to do. And we have to not be afraid to let things change in our life, because that is actually the natural cycle of life. Change is natural. It's normal. And if you are resistant to change, how many of you don't like change? Well, too bad. Because it's going to happen. And to be honest, I mean, some changes I don't like, but I don't mind change because I think it's what keeps life interesting. You know, if everything is the same, same, same old, same old, same old forever and ever, it gets kind of tiresome. And so one of the ways you can tell when God is wanting to change something is you just won't like it anymore. It's just like it doesn't fit anymore. It's just not right. And I don't suggest that every time you don't like something that you think you need to go do something totally different. You might not like your job one day. That doesn't mean you need to quit and go get another job. But if it persists over a period of time, then you need to start asking yourself, is it time for a change? And sometimes you don't even have to have a reason for why it should change. Sometimes we just need a change. Sometimes we just need to do something different. Or sometimes we don't have any idea why God wants us to leave one place and go to another place. But maybe, you know, maybe you're in a church you've been in for X number of years of your life, and maybe you know too much to stay in that same place anymore. Maybe you need to go somewhere where people don't know as much as you know, and God might want to be able to use you there where you're at right now. He doesn't need you. Hello? I worked at a church for 5 years, and God started dealing with me that it was time to leave, only I didn't know that was what he was up to, and I just started getting unhappy. I just didn't like it anymore. I just didn't want to go. I dreaded going. And I worked there, and things that I used to love, like staff meetings and things like that, I dreaded them, couldn't wait for them to get over with, and didn't realize what God was up to. You know, you always start by thinking, something must be wrong with me. What's wrong with me? And one Tuesday night, I went to church. We had church on Tuesday night, and I was sitting in my seat on the front row, and I heard God say just as plainly, what are you doing here? And I thought, well, I'm in church. It's Tuesday night. And, you know, the next thing I heard, I don't need you here anymore. He needed me somewhere else. And see, we need to be, now listen to what I'm going to say, we need to be where God needs us, not where we want to be. Are you there? We need to be where God needs us, not where we want to be. Maybe you're at a job and you're the only believer there, and you don't necessarily want to be there, but God needs you there. Have you asked God to use you? Uh-huh. Well, what if he's trying to, but you don't particularly like the place he's decided to use you? You know, if you're the only Christian in a place, you shouldn't grumble about that. You might be their only hope of ever seeing Jesus. Amen? And I don't, you know, you can be somewhere that is not particularly thrilling to you and still have a peace about being there and know it's the place that you're supposed to be. You might be in a difficult marriage and still know that it's where you're supposed to be. And I believe if you're where you're supposed to be, that God can give you the ability to enjoy your life right in the middle of something that would drive most people crazy. Hello. Come on, this is good. So, the Bible pretty much says there's a season for everything. And so, I'm going to read very quickly some stuff in Ecclesiastes that we're all, you know, pretty used to. But Ecclesiastes 3, beginning in verse 1, and I'm not going to read every word of this. I'm going to skip through it pretty quick. There's a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. I thought that was an interesting one. A time to keep and a time to throw away. We got to stop there for a minute. A time to keep and a time to throw away. That's the word in due season. Somebody needs to go home and have a throwing away party. Come on, how many of you are junk collectors? You just keep everything you can get your hands on. Well, I'll throw away anything I can get my, I don't throw it away. I give it to somebody, send it to some needy place. My husband, on the other hand, he likes to collect stuff. Everything is beautiful in its time. But out of season, it can just be an absolute mess. There's a right time and a wrong time for every matter under the sun. And when we mature enough to be able to discern the seasons, it's a very good thing in our life. How many of you have a difficult time letting go of things? See, I feel for you. Some things I'm worse at than others. You know, now that I've aged a little, I haven't gotten older, but now that I've aged a little, I've had to let go of some things at the office, things that, you know, to be honest, technology is so far ahead of me now that I'd be dumb not to let some of the younger people handle it because I don't understand it, don't want to understand it, don't have any interest in learning it. It's just, I'd much rather pay somebody to do it for me. Here, my phone's not working. Thank you. My computer don't work. Thank you. Can you just come over and do that for me? Thank you. So, but I've had to, even in the last couple of years, make some big changes. Like you may notice that I have somebody helping me a little bit here now, Pastor Mike. Sometimes Ginger does it. And, you know, it was just time for me to stop doing everything. Sometimes you just can't do everything, or you get to the point where you can't do any of it well. And I was just tired. And I have a right to be tired because I've been doing this for a long, 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 long time. And I kept it up so long trying to keep doing everything, you know, because everybody had, well, you know, it's better if you do it, you know. So I kept trying to do it, and I finally made myself sick, and I didn't have any choice. Sometimes you won't change unless you come to a crisis point in your life, and that crisis forces you to change. But hopefully we'll get smart enough to recognize the signs and make the changes while we can still make them because we choose to and not make them because we're forced to and have no choice. Amen. So let me just pick on something. How many of you don't like water? Now, I'm talking about how many of you just don't really like to drink water. Okay. Well, I love you. Please don't be offended. But that's one of the dumbest things that you can do is not drink any water. You know why? Because it's the only thing that will properly cleanse your kidneys. If you dip a tea bag in it, it's not the same as it was when it was water. And so many people feel bad and have no energy just because they don't drink water. And so now I'm telling you, so now you know. So you're responsible now for what you know. So if you go get kidney stones and the doctor says you don't drink enough water, you can say, yep, Joyce told me that. How many of you don't get enough sleep? You know what the answer is to that? Go to bed. I mean, to be honest, a lot of our problems would not be that hard to solve. Well, I know I should go to bed, but I know I should drink more water, but I know I should start saving some money for when I retire, but I know I should mind my own business, but I probably shouldn't say this, but come on, we need to get the buts out of our life and start just doing what we know that we should do. Let's just make a decision here today that we're going to get a lot better at letting things go so God can usher in the new thing that he has for us. It doesn't really make any sense to try to keep hanging on to something that God's done with, because once God's finished with it, you're never going to enjoy it. Amen? God's even shown me about giving things away, that once he asks me to give something away, if I keep it after that, there's no longer any anointing on it for me to enjoy it. I may keep it, look at it, but I won't enjoy it because it doesn't belong to me anymore. God's already said, give it. Rushing through one season to get to the next one causes problems too. Maybe you're in a waiting season and you're tired of waiting, so you're going to do something about it. Or maybe you are at a job that you don't like and you're just tired of waiting on God, so you just decide you're going to quit anyway. You know, a lot of times we just get tired of waiting and we just go make decisions that are foolish. You need to stay put until God releases you. And when God releases you, then you need to go. I had a job one time in ministry and I wasn't being treated properly, and I wanted so bad to get out of there and go do my own thing. But I knew in the depths of my heart, God did not want me to go yet because he had not released me. Well, by the time God told me to go, I'd gotten to the point where I liked it. And then I didn't want to go. So you don't always get to do what you want to. Now, here's an example about rushing through seasons. One year in Missouri, we had a very warm winter. Well, during the winter, we thought it was great. This was cool, man. It's not even cold this winter. It's almost like not even having winter. And we thought it was all great until we discovered in the spring that it never got cold enough to kill the bugs. So we had bugs, 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 and more bugs that spring. And we had an epidemic of ladybugs. And we had ladybugs, you know, like how Pharaoh had frogs in his driveway, frogs in his ovens, frogs in his bed. Well, we had ladybugs everywhere. I'm not exaggerating to say we had hundreds of ladybugs in our house. And you know, sinus and allergy sufferers didn't like it because it never got cold enough to kill off the stuff that bugged them in the spring. So it may seem like fun to be able to skip through one season and get to the other one. But a lot of people, for example, they want to skip through the season where God deals with us and chastises us and changes things in us, and they want to go straight from being born again to, you know, some great big thing in their life. But they, you know, you can have charisma that will get you somewhere, but not enough character to keep you there once you get there. Come on, you want me to say it again? You know, when I was teaching 20 people in my living room floor, I could preach then just like I do now. And I used to watch people on television, preachers on television, and I remember thinking, well, I don't know why God's got me stuck in my living room. I can preach better than that. Well, that was why I was stuck in my living room. It wasn't that I couldn't preach, but I had an attitude. Come on, I'm talking to you. You know, you may sit out there and think, well, I applied for a job on the worship team and they didn't hire me, and I can sing better than anybody up there. Well, until you lose that attitude, you'll keep sitting right where you're sitting. Because God is much more concerned about our attitude and our character than he is what we can do to impress people. So a lot of times, if you know that you're real gifted and you don't understand why God's not using you, maybe you better do a character check. Ask yourself, how do I treat people? How am I when it comes to criticizing and judging other people? You know, those are the things that are important to God. Man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. Amen? God sees our heart. And that's why sometimes God will use somebody that you can't figure out why in the world he would be using them. Because the package doesn't look too impressive. But God knows they've got a heart of gold. We need to pay more attention to our inner life than our outer life. Listen, if we spend as much time getting spiritually ready to go out as we do changing our clothes 5 times and putting on a pound of makeup. Come on, I'll go talk to them if you're not going to behave. You know, it takes me about 45 minutes in the morning to get it looking from the way it was when I got it out of bed to now. Well, thankfully, I did learn a long time ago. I spend usually a couple hours with God before I ever get around to trying to dress this thing up. But there were years in my life when I didn't do that. And, you know, I might have put makeup on it and made it look good, but it was ugly to God because of the way I acted. Hello. No matter how pretty somebody thinks you are at work, God looks at our attitude, our character, how we treat people, how we talk to people, how we talk about people. And you will have seasons in your life where God just turns you every which way but loose. Seasons of chastisement, seasons of nothing going your way just to see how you'll act. Come on. Come on, I'm about done. I might get feisty. Never know. Plowing up the fallow ground. There's plowing seasons in our life. Just imagine if you were a field full of dirt that had never been plowed, and all of a sudden a farmer brought in a plow and started going through that field and plowing it up. If you could feel, it wouldn't feel very good. And the fallow ground in our life, the hard, rocky soil in our life has to also be plowed up. How many of you want God to use you? Okay, well, here's the thing. There's a lot of stuff God has to do to you before he can do very much through you. Amen? Oh, my Lord, if I could even begin to explain to you what all I had to go through to be standing where I'm standing today. Oh, my gosh. I had such a bad attitude. From the way I'd been treated, I felt sorry for myself. I had a chip on my shoulder. The world owed me. I was rebellious, especially toward any kind of male authority. Ew. And God just kept at it and kept at it and kept at it and kept at it and kept at it. And you know what? I didn't understand why God wasn't turning me loose on the world. And I look back now and I am so glad. So glad that God made me wait. I am so glad that he didn't let me get into a position where I would have made a complete fool out of myself and brought shame to his name. Don't be in such a hurry to get where you're going. Take the time to let God do what he needs to do in you. And when the time is right, he will be able to do something through you. But your spiritual maturity is much more important than standing on a platform somewhere sharing your gift. Amen. The plowing season. Once you've put your hand to the plow, the Bible says, don't look back. Luke 9:62. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. When you're working hard, don't think about how hard it is. Think about the harvest. Amen. When you're going through things that are hard, don't just, oh, this is so hard. I don't know if I can take this. I'm going to quit, God. I'm going to give up if this doesn't stop. If I don't get a breakthrough today, God, I just can't go on. Lord, if Joyce doesn't call me out and give me a word, I don't think I can stay saved. Well, I've got a word for everybody in the building today. Grow up. And I say that to myself, too. I never say anything to you, though, that God hasn't said to me. You can be sure of that. Amen. The Bible says that we're to plow in hope. You know what hope is? Hope is an expectation that something good is about to happen at any minute. I love that. We should live with that kind of expectation. And when things are hard in our life, we need to go through it with hope, not a bad attitude. We need to say, this is going to work out for good. This is happening for a reason. I need this. I may not feel like I need it, but God's going to work it out for my good. This is going to help me grow up. This is going to help me mature. I'm getting experience that I can use later on in life. Amen. You know, there's nothing that trumps experience. You know, one of the reasons why you believe what I say is because you know that I've been through what I'm talking to you about. I didn't just go buy a dollar sermon book and make all these messages up. I've lived this stuff. And when I tell you that God will work everything out for your good if you trust him, I know from experience that God will work everything out for good if you trust him to do it. When I tell you that if you won't quit and you won't give up, your time of harvest will come, I can promise you that your time of harvest will come. And while you're plowing, you can plow in hope. 1 Corinthians 9:10, does he not certainly speak for our sake? It was written for our sake because the plowman should plow in hope and the thresher should thresh in hope of sharing in the crop. I love that. Fallow ground has to be plowed up. And when it's being plowed up, it's not that much fun. It's difficult. Learning how to obey God is difficult. But once you learn how to promptly and quickly obey God, life gets sweet. Sweet. You know, the answer to every problem is find out what God's saying and do it. Hosea 10:12. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. That means get prepared for blessings. Maybe right now your fallow ground is you're angry at somebody and you just won't let it go. I wonder how many people there are in here today that need to forgive somebody. Okay, let me tell you something. The biggest problem that we have as believers is unforgiveness, staying offended, being mad at people. I mean, it is the number one problem in the church. If we would all learn how to forgive quickly as Christ forgives us, come on. What would happen in the world if Christians actually started to love each other? Wow, imagine that. Then our bumper sticker might mean something to somebody. But as long as all we've got is a bunch of stuff hanging all over us that says, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. All we do is get watched. So if you're going to put bumper sticker on your car, you better not break the speed limit and cuss at people. Come on, you may not like everything I say, but you won't be confused. Come on, let's camp here for a minute. It's time to forgive. It's time to let it go. It's time to get over it and get on with your life. Well, you don't know what they did to me. No, I don't know what's been done to you, but I do know what was done to me. And I know what's been done to a lot of other people. And I also know what we've done to Jesus. There's no reason for anybody. You cannot find an excuse good enough to hang on to anger. Come on, you can't find an excuse. Well, you just don't know. But you see, it's not that what happened to you is not important. But here's the thing. When you forgive, you're not doing your enemy a favor. You're helping yourself. I wrote a book on forgiveness, and I called it Do Yourself a Favor and Forgive. We're helping ourselves when we obey God. Everything that God tells us to do, you say, but I just can't get over it. Okay, maybe you can't get over the feelings right away, but I'll tell you what will happen. If you'll start to do what God tells you to, you start praying for the people that you're mad at and see how long you can hate them. Come on, you start praying for them every day. You pray for them to be blessed. You pray for God to bless them. And if an opportunity comes along and there's something they need and you can meet that need, you go meet that need. Even if it gives your flesh the creepy crawlies, you go and do it. Because that's exactly how you break the power of Satan off of your life, when you start acting like Jesus. Amen? Come on, if you're the pastor of a local church and somebody that you've nurtured up in the Lord and been like a son to you in the Lord, he takes half your congregation and moves down the street, buy him a new sound system. Come on, you can't, love never fails. Hatred, resentment, bitterness always fail, but love never fails. God has given us a weapon like no other weapon, and it's the warfare of love. And not only that, it's just flat out fun. It's just fun to make the devil mad and have him have to sit around and watch you love somebody that's mistreated you. Woohoo! What season are you in now? Or is God dealing with you about being less selfish? No answers? Okay. How about being more disciplined? How about getting out of debt? Well, then you got to quit flipping plastic everywhere you go. It's so much fun to say, put it on my account. But the bill comes. Amen? How about, has God been dealing with anybody about it's time to get healthy, time to start taking care of yourself? And how many of you, God is dealing with you to stop eating junk all the time? So don't fight the seasons of your life, and remember that, don't ever think that you can always do what you've always done, because things are going to have to change, and when they do, don't fight it. It just makes you miserable if you fight it.
Well, Joyce is absolutely right. Things in our lives are going to change. It is inevitable, and when they do, don't try to fight it. There is no point. Instead, remember that it's experience that we will need later in life. It will prepare us for a wonderful, beautiful future that God has for us. But I get it. Sometimes change is not easy, and we ask those questions, why? We ask God, when? And we want to know more answers. Well, let me tell you, there are very practical things that you can do that will help you with change and that will help you through those things that I'm talking about. We have an offer for you today that we would love to get to you because it is what God's Word says. This is Joyce's teaching called When, God, When. You've probably asked that question. I know I have. These are three teachings from Joyce that will help you to understand that sometimes God's timing is not my timing, but it's always better, and it helps us get through those waiting periods. And then you'll also get a little booklet called Developing Patience. Now, I can't personally think of a better title for a book or a topic that I need to read a lot on than Developing Patience. So get these two together and make this something that you start today to study in God's Word. And I think that your patience will grow, and I think that maybe some of those questions that you're asking will just feel differently, and it will make a difference for you. Speaking of changes, as the new year approaches, I want you to consider a few things. I'll be right back with some important thoughts. Don't go away.
Delays in life can have you asking, are we there yet? We all experience frustration when things don't work out according to our timetable. But did you know you can still enjoy your life even while you're waiting? Joyce is teaching When, God, When, along with her booklet, Developing Patience, will help you do just that. You'll learn how to wait with patience and trust God's perfect timing, how to live with hopeful expectation no matter how long it takes. You can get both of these resources for your gift of $20 or more, or get these resources as a digital download. Order online at joycemeyer.org or call us at 1-800-727-9673.
Just to have some honest, open discussion with friends.
You're part of this group, too, so yeah, there's something for everyone.
I don't know what you're talking about, Joyce.
We never laugh.
Not us at all.
Just give me a call, and we'll talk it out.
Check out Joyce's newest podcast and talk it out. joycemeyer.org/talkitout.
Well, a new year is almost upon us, and we're all making plans to wrap up 2019 and celebrate 2020. But before the ball drops and the celebrations begin, I want to encourage you to consider a year-end financial gift to Joyce Meyer Ministries that can bring hope, health, and healing to people all around the world. And I promise it will make your year better too, just because it's God's plan for us to sow into other people's lives, and He blesses us when we do. So for so many people in desperate need, we need to remember that the new year will not be a time to celebrate, but you can make a difference for them through your support of Hand of Hope, the missions arm of Joyce Meyer Ministries. You can provide food, water, medical care, and the truth of God's Word to people in the United States and all around the world. Together, we can reach more people with the good news of the gospel in 2020 than ever before. The teaching ministry of Joyce Meyer is seen daily in 100 languages around the world. That's the greatest thing, for people to come to know Jesus and to find salvation and hope through Him. So please make your donation today. We would be so grateful. And another great way to support the work of Joyce Meyer Ministries is through a donation of stocks or planned giving. So there are many ways that you can help and some different things for you to consider. However you decide to give, you are right there with us everywhere we go, everything that we do, sharing Christ and loving people all around the world. And we are grateful to you. God bless you in this new year. Go to joycemeyer.org/donate or call us. Celebrate the end of the year by helping others. God bless you, and I hope you have a wonderful new year.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.